Our scripture today comes first from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. These are the texts that are being read all throughout the world. They started reading these texts in New Zealand this morning, and then Australia, and then Japan, and China, Russia, all throughout Europe, all the way over. They read them in Maine a couple hours ago. Now we're reading them here. And it's going to echo down all the way across the world. And I love that we're connected as a church. It's not just us. And that we get to share these texts. So, first from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they called to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." And from the New Testament, the gospel lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, the first 17 verses, the story when Nicodemus visits Jesus. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into your mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Well, how can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And you know this next verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Here ends the reading of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. This is the second Sunday in Pentecost. And I wonder what that Pentecost Sunday felt like. And when I grew up in my church in Coopersville, Michigan, we had something called a flannel graph. Anybody remember a flannel graph? Oh, a couple of you back there. All right. That's where you had flannel, I assume, and you had the little pictures, and you put them up on the flannel, and they'd stick, right? It's like pre-Velcro. You'd put them up. And I remember the flannel graph of Pentecost, because the disciples were all there looking clean and neat, and their hair was kind of wavy, sort of like a model's hair, you know, going through Peter and James and the boys. And you'd put them up, and then they had little red cut things, little tongues of fire that they put above them to make it look good. And they all look so holy on that flannel graph. And I wonder what it was like that, you know, they were there, and then suddenly my Mrs. Metten would tell me they could all speak different languages, and so they all pass advanced Spanish or were conjugating verbs in Mandarin. All that going on that Pentecost Sunday. But I'm a little older now, and I'm a little more suspect of flannel graphs. And I wonder if it wasn't a little bit different than that. I wonder if that Pentecost Sunday that we see in that banner there, if it wasn't more terror than joy on that day. The God who makes the wind his messenger and rides, and fire and flame are God's servants, that rushed into that room and blew the doors open, and the whirlwind that met Job met these men and women who were wondering what to do now after the resurrection and after the ascension. The fire and flames licking up the walls and racing across the ceiling of their room and of their hearts and of their lives. And there was nowhere to run on that morning and nowhere to hide. And they sat there in that room filled with wind and fire. And they watched their past fortunes being consumed. And they saw their dreams of what they had turned to ashes. Their dreams, good dreams. You know, their fishing fleet. Of being and raising a family and raising their kids, of being in one place, of being good members of the society. They watch those dreams get consumed by this fire. There was no separating the wheat from the chaff on Pentecost Sunday. The apostles, men and women, left with soot on their faces and their souls seared by a God who wraps himself in light as with a garment. The burning coal that God placed on Isaiah's lips had now cauterized their own stories, their own lives, and they were left once more alone after the fire. Fire's taken on a whole new meaning for me, you can bet. We had a fire this winter. Like so many others, because after our fire, we watch the news every day. And so many people's lives were changed in a moment. 3 hours of terror and loss. Being whooshed away, the good with the bad. And it's defined every day since. And it will be a distinct marker for my wife Jill and I and my kids. We sort of have BF and AF. Before fire and after fire. And it's an interesting place to be. It's like Isaiah. Did you catch in that? Isaiah marking this date clearly. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord God on his throne. We know exactly when the fire hits. We know exactly when the coal is put on our lips to cauterize our spirits. Those disciples knew exactly on Pentecost that their lives would no longer be the same. And that's where we differ. I'm not looking for pity or anything. We're in good shape. We're in great shape. There are a lot of people who need help, and we're not it. But these disciples with their fire, not so. Their lives turned a corner, and they went a different direction. And I think it's really interesting that this week in particular, we have the story of Isaiah saying, "Here I am, send me," juxtaposed with the story of Nicodemus, who came to visit Jesus. Now, think of that story. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, so he was, you know, had a good job. He was high up in the church hierarchy or the temple hierarchy there. And he had good questions, and he was searching. But he came to Jesus by night. I don't think Nicodemus wanted to lose his day job. He was searching with Jesus, and this great discussion going on. It rambles back and forth, and what are they talking about? And good stuff happening there. But Nicodemus is in a different place than Isaiah. Nicodemus is just wondering what it would be like. Nicodemus always knew where his exits were, if he needed to leave Jesus and go back. And I think Nicodemus represents us, represents me. Not so sure how far I want to push this Jesus thing. Not so sure I want to have my whole life turned upside down. Not so sure I want that burning coal put on my tongue. Because once that happens, there's no turning back. We don't want to lose our day jobs. We're curious about Jesus. We've been birthed and baptized in water. But not many of us have been seared with the fire. Now, here's the good news. There's room for Nicodemus. Nicodemus is welcome into the kingdom, just as a searcher, just as a wanderer, just as someone who's there. He's welcome into the kingdom. But let's be honest with ourselves, and let's be careful what we sing and what we ask God for. We really want God to burn us, then we got to be ready for our lives to truly be uprooted and changed. That's the difference. Are we ready to be seared with fire? The Spirit of Christ comes with fire, dangerous and consuming, cutting off all retreats, cutting off our old lives, our security, and with these disciples, driving them into the unknown. And with Isaiah, have you read the rest of Isaiah? Driving him into a place that puts him in opposition to the other prophets, that puts him in opposition to Ahaz the king and to what's going on. Isaiah has to be the one to bear the bad news to the king, to speak a different language to the king. But Isaiah is the only one who gets the words that Emmanuel will come after this. That from the stump of Jesse, a shoot will come up. That a virgin will give birth and he'll be the savior of the world. Isaiah gets the words to speak only after he's been seared with the fire and turned around. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. We're going to be celebrating Pentecost for the next 20 or so weeks. We're in the season of Pentecost. Our mothers birthed us in water, but Jesus, I think following a family tradition, births us in fire. And once the flames have passed over your life and my life, there will be no turning back. All the wishing in the world will never be able to make you return. All the wishing in the world will not make my house come back. These men and women would never be able to return to their old lives. The only path left for them led forward. And it leads forward to dark places in need of light and fire and God. So all of this, the story of Isaiah, the story of Nicodemus, reminds me of how has God marked us, you, me. Has your soul been seared by that burning coal? Or are we Nicodemus? Curious enough to show up on a rainy Sunday morning. But maybe that's about it. And that's okay. But that's something very different than what Christ sent his disciples out to do. Has God blocked your way back? If so, are you moving forward into an unknown future? Or are you stuck, like I have been for 4 months, sorting through the ashes, searching for things that are not there any longer, wishing for what cannot be? For the fire consumes those dreams and hopes and futures and sets us into the future that God has planned for us. All of us. All of us in some way have had our homes burned. Pentecost is our reminder that if we put our trust in things or the past or this church or the history, we will never travel into God's future. More than that, Pentecost is a reminder that the change God requires of us will be frightening and hard. No little flannel graphs in our future will be frightening and hard. But, if we step into that future, perhaps like Isaiah, perhaps like James and John and Peter and the boys and the women who were there at Pentecost, perhaps God will give you the words to speak what the world desperately needs to hear. Perhaps you can be the light that goes into the places that are dark to show them the way out, the way forward into God's kingdom that is breaking in upon us now and inviting all to sing what? Holy, 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 Lord God, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. To sing with those angels around the throne, Isaiah, and all who've been touched by the fire. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, take these old words written and new words spoken and transform them into your word for us today. We pray this in the risen Christ's name. Amen.